Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we are live this morning. This is a Wednesday morning, and this is our Prophecy Reality News Edition. We come here live, studio cam is on. Come on over to the chat room if you're able. At firstamendmentradio.net and join the people that are crowding into the little chat room there. Just a thank you to everyone that shows up. Okay, what do we have here? Day 169 of the covert march to the mark of the beast and the lockstep monsters that are all working in unison with the Antichrist all over the world to bring in tyranny and total control and the Mark of the Beast monetary system. That's what we're confronted with today. There's no doubt about it. Oh, and let's first of all, before we jump into the news and stuff, I promised September 1st, I would be publishing my book, and my book was published yesterday. So this is the first day, and later on I'm going to put out a specific post for that, for all of my the people that are following my blog, so they'll get that later today. The new book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and I've taken it on myself to write a book with such a name, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, because I have been studying prophecy for 15 years intently now. Started about 2005, and many of you have been on this journey with me all these many years, and I've learned quite a bit, and it's a very complicated thing. It does take that many years of study. This book is not a complete book on prophecy. It's not a hore apocalypticae or anything like that. It's just an alternative view for everyone out there. And let me put the book cover on the screen so you can all see it. And at the website, if you got my email and you're here, there's a link where you could purchase the book if you would like. Okay. There's an EPUB version, and there is a book version. And the book was just made available overnight, and so was the EPUB version. So you'd be the very first ones to get it. Okay, let me see. I have a picture of the cover here. Let me do that and put that on the screen there for you, and you can see it there. That's what you're looking for, and we have... We have a picture here of Pentecost in the center of the cover. This, of course, is the front and back cover. Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, subtitle, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century, because that's where my 15 years of intensive study have led me. And I've looked at everything, because I want the right thing. I want the Holy Ghost interpretation of the Scripture. And I believe that, let me read the back of the book for you. I believe what I've written there says it all. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. This book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism and amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history, rather than a speculation of their fulfillment in the future. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those that require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely upon future speculation, rather than prophecy fulfilled in history. We will here examine the reason for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. So that's what you're looking for. This is the inside of the book itself, my PDF file that I submitted. Let's take a look at the chapters. Then we'll move on to the news. Okay. Chapter 1. Of course, I always put this in all of our across-the-border publications. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation, under the Heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all. Quite self-explanatory. Chapter 1, Introduction to Method of Interpretation. Subtitle or section, Dating the Revelation. Section 2, Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass. The next section, The Bible is a Book of History. Chapter 2, The Day Year Principle and Historicism. Section 1, A Day for a Year. Next, 70 Years and 70 Weeks. And third, Dating the End of the 69th Week. Chapter 3, The 7-Year Tribulation Deception. The Great Tribulation, The Rapture Play Begins, Verifiable History or Future Speculation. The Bible Demonstrates Historicism. Chapter 4, The Olivet Discourse. The Two Questions, The Abomination of Desolation, and Rapture or Resurrection. Chapter 5, The Temple of God and the Man of Sin. Subsection, The New Testament Temple, and The Restrainer and the Antichrist. Chapter 6, Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation. We covered the beast symbol, the head symbol upon a beast, horn symbol upon a beast, and the crown symbol upon a beast. So basically, we learn what is a beast and how to interpret these symbols when we're reading apocalyptic scripture. Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation, chapter 6. Chapter 7, Seven Heads and Seven Kings. Scripture defined beast power, identifying the enumerated beast powers. Next. And that's it. That's the subsections there. Chapter 8, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. Attributes of the Earth Beast prefigured in the vision. Identity of the Earth Beast prefigured in the vision. The Earth Beast creates the image of the Sea Beast. Very important for knowing what's going on in the days that we are living in. Chapter 9, The False Prophet and the Three Frog Era. And of course the subsections are The False Prophet and the Three Frogs. And those, it's about those three frog-like spirits that have gone throughout the earth and gathering together everything that is opposed to God for the great day of God Almighty. Chapter 10, The Mark of the Beast. We have a chapter there on the name and the number. I'm going with the first century expositors on that primarily, and E.B. Eliot on the name and the number. No guesswork, no speculation, no speculation necessary when you read it. And enforcement in its final form, the second section of the Mark of the Beast chapter. Chapter 11, of course everyone's familiar with this one, had to be included in my my work here, is What Year Is It? And of course the subsections are Genealogies to Exodus, Exodus to Solomon's Fourth Year, and the Kings of Judah. And then we have a section on the calendars, the creation Roman calendar synchrony, and then the summary charts at the end. And this is also, I think I've actually updated it to bring it, make it a little more in line with what I have in this chapter on my website. So you can go to the What Year Is It There, you don't have to buy the book to see that. Everyone should understand that anyway. Chapter 12, The Millennium Question. I went pretty exhaustive on the Millennium Question. Pages 143 through 170. Reformed Development of Millennial Eschatology. The Amillennial First Resurrection Past. Peter's Thousand Years Day. The Error of Saying that the Resurrection is Already Past. This Age and the Age to Come. And Sam Storm's Challenge to Premillennialism. Chapter 13, the final chapter, Prospects for the Unfulfilled Future, That Which Is Yet to Come, The Alien Invasion and Great Battle, and The Blessed Epoch. And that's the entire, and I hope that's piqued some interest. So do check that out. I believe in the, if you go to the website there, I have a link to Amazon.com. And if you go there to that link, let me see, I have it up here already. There it is right there. They only have a preview of the Kindle Vision so far. It takes them longer to get the book view up. Okay, so you won't get the table of contents in the that I just read to you. That's one reason why I wanted to cover it there. But go ahead there, and if you don't want to buy the book, all of this, a lot of this stuff is already sprinkled all over my website, so you can learn practically everything you'll read in the book, but not as concise and not as comprehensive and well put together as in the book. But stick around. Many of you have already learned many of these things. A few of the chapters are actually postings on my website, so if anything piqued your interest there, and I'll put a table of contents and a sample when I post later today announcing the book for all of my, so make sure you get over to my website, nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. And the reason I give you both is because I'm going to move the crosstheborder.org to be our publishing arm website, our publishing company, because it's Cross the Border Publishing is what we do on the back, all of our books, you'll notice. And all of the copyrights are for Cross the Border Publishing. So we're going to separate that. So, but I'll always have nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or nicholasarthur.net.com. com and dot info, which all lead to the same place, a page that has links to the several things that I've been working on over the last 25 years. So hey, maybe I'd have an anniversary or something. We could celebrate, have a big party. No one's allowed to wear a mask. If you're that afraid, stay home, please. If enough people ask me, let's have a celebration, I'll come. We'll do it. We'll put it on. We'll have tri-tip and my homemade Mexican hot chili. Yeah, this used to be Mexico here where I live. Anyway, let's take a look at the chat room and see who we got here. We got a few people in. I put a lot of notices out there on different groups and stuff, so hopefully at least people are listening if they're not showing up in the chat room. So anyway, shout out to Bob and from PA over there. Hello to you too, and WW Blackbird, Jesuit Fiend, and Mercury Rising. Yes. And let's see, whoever else is in the chat room. Okay, Far Out Antiquity. So if you can, come over to the chat room. If not, just keep listening where you're at and carry on, and don't neglect your duties if you're on your job. just absorbed by osmosis. Yes, like, never mind. Let's look at the news, shall we? My favorite article of the week here, and this is, I knew this before Lou Rockwell, but I knew it would get there. The whole scam just fell apart. Yeah. And so we have this at Lou Rockwell. If you're not subscribed to LouRockwell.com, you're missing a lot of great articles. Most of them worth reading, at least partially. Some of them I can't stop reading. Some of my favorite authors here, like John Rappaport, and this is from his blog, which I'm not subscribed to. Maybe I'll subscribe to his blog, but I get all of his articles here at LouRockwell.com. But anyway, the whole scam just fell apart. COVID test, overwhelming number of false positives. Town hall, according to the New York Times, and I've seen this myself from the CDC website, so it's true, potentially 90% of those who have tested positive for COVID-19 have such insignificant amounts of the virus. This is not the same article. Okay, as I thought it was. Present in their bodies, that such individuals do not need to isolate, nor are they candidates for contact tracing. God forbid. Leading public health experts are now concerned that over-testing is responsible for the misdiagnosing of a huge number of people with harmless amounts of the virus in their systems. And remember, we discussed that what they're testing for is a string of your own DNA. So it's no wonder that many people are testing positive for that. The theory being, the guy who made the test says it can't be used for doing this, what they're using it for, but they're using it for that anyway. We see why. He said, this isn't a test for that. You can't use this for COVID testing, because, if you have a slight fever, a cold or something, these DNA fragments, your own DNA fragments, ultimately all end up somewhere in your fluids, your bloodstream, because your body is always tearing itself down and rebuilding itself. So this DNA fragment, I forget what number it is, but you can look this all up for yourself, and we covered this last week. It's going to show up sometime in your body when you're testing. And if you likely have a cold or a flu, COVID, cold or flu, it's more likely to show up, but not necessarily. So it's a totally unreliable test. So we don't have a pandemic. If anything, we have a case-demic. That's the new word, case-demic. So anyway, you can check out that article there by John Rappaport for yourself. And the other thing from the CDC website, let me check out my Facebook page. I believe I have that article on the First Amendment Radio posts here. Let me reload that to make sure it's there. I'm not sure I did it. It might have got taken down because I noticed some of my posts were missing that I put up during the week to cover on the broadcast. So nothing's reliable anymore. This is the one here. This is the article. And this is the one. I knew they had it. I just guess I let that episode go by the wayside. And, missing context. This is what is it, Facebook here. Independent fact checkers say this information could mislead people. And the fact is, if you're an idiot, it might mislead you. But it states what it states. And I'm not trying to mislead everyone. I just want them. So go to the First Amendment Radio homepage there. And you can get a link for that. And here, let me see. I'll put a, I guess I, this is how you get a link. I'm just going to copy the link from my browser here and put it in the chat room. Otherwise, you can get it from my website, crosstheborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Where did that chat room go? Anyway, you can get the link to this article, at our Facebook page here. Make sure you follow while you're at it if you're on Facebook. And it's like the second or third article down on our posting section there. So if you look at our posts, but let me see, let me get back to that. Oh, yeah. And this is the article that I was referring to earlier. About halfway down the screen, the Center for Disease Control Statistics, August 26, 2020, update on provisional death counts for coronavirus 2019, COVID-19, states the following. And I checked that. The link is right here in the article, too. I posted it on a posting I did earlier, but they took it down off of my Facebook. But I posted this article, and the link is in there. So you can go to the website, the CDC website, yourself. They always hide the truth. They aren't advertising this, but a lot of freedom-minded, liberty-minded people are, because we hate this lockdown. We hate this totalitarian dictatorship. We hate this, the lockstep monsters march to the mark of the beast. We don't want it. We reject it. And we will not comply. But there it is. It states the following, quote, for 6% of deaths, COVID-19 was the only cause mentioned. And what that means is that 94% of the deaths that have been labeled COVID deaths in the United States, some 180,000, I believe it is, well, 6% of that is like 9,000. I believe that was it. Yeah. So less than 10,000 deaths from actually where COVID-19 was the primary cause of death. Everyone else had 2.3 or more comorbidities. You know, read it and weep. Oh, here it is. Only an estimated 9,683 COVID-19 deaths so far in 2020, not 180,000. This is the truth. Why are we in lockdown? It ends now. And then we say never again, never again should we quarantine healthy people. We should instead spend half of the amount of effort, it wouldn't even take a half amount, one-tenth of the effort that they've spent to quarantine the entire population of the United States or the entire world. Just spend one-tenth of that on taking care of the people that are primarily subject to or have the comorbidities, who will be primarily affected by the disease, rather than locking down the entire country, ruining our economy, causing many more deaths. Where is that count, CDC? Where is the count for all the people who have died from the lockdown? I don't see that too much. Maybe that's something someone in the chat room might look into and see if we got something reliable out there for that. Where are the lockdown death counts at? And I'll bet you they're more than 9,683 or even 180,000. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. due all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Well, we were talking about this article from LouRockwell.com and the COVID death counts there. Actually, only 6% of the deaths that they're counting as COVID deaths actually died from COVID, as that's where COVID-19 was the only cause mentioned. It used to be, before all of this nonsense started, that if someone that was 86 years old or 92 or, you know, and they had several comorbidities and they caught a cold and died, it was called natural causes because people naturally get old and die. Okay? So, but now, you know, if you caught a cold or if you tested positive, which doesn't even mean you had anything other than perhaps a COVID common cold, because the COVID virus is also the common cold virus. It doesn't have to be the COVID-19 virus. So if you tested positive, or they didn't really test most of these people, probably they just guessed. They maybe had a cough or a cold symptom. And that's why America's, and not only that, there is a financial reward, okay, for listing people with COVID-19 as a death, cause of death, because the government gives them more money if they do that. And plus, you know, I'm so sick of this here. Every time I hear the words ventilators come out of the president's mouth, is he so out of touch? Probably. I mean, after all, he is the president. But so out of touch to know that nobody ever needed the ventilators. And we had more ventilators that we need than we needed before this all began. And that if someone is put on a ventilator, they have an 80% chance of dying. So the last thing you want to do is be put on a ventilator. Yeah. Okay. So you mean America is not undergoing a pandemic? Now, that's what the article says. On average, about 8,000 people die every day from all causes in the United States. In the first 8 months of 2020, there were only 1,200 excess deaths per month, or 40 extra deaths per day, exclusively due to COVID-19 coronavirus infections, with 80% of those among Americans 65 and older. By extrapolation, there were only less than, I guess, 8 excess COVID deaths per day among working-age adults and school-age children. So, yeah, think about that. How many people die? 8,000 people on average die every day. And that means that it's 1,200 months. Never mind. But the math is all there for you. Yeah. So translation. Of the 161,392 accumulated COVID-19 related deaths reported as of August 22nd, 2020, 80% being among Americans age 75 and older, only 6%, or 9,683 accumulated deaths were classified as COVID-19 only. See, it's not a pandemic. There never was a pandemic. Among these COVID-19 only deaths, I don't know what the wavy line means here, 60% were age 75 and older, approximately 80% were age 65 and older, and so there were only like 2,000 COVID-only deaths in working-age adults and school-age children up through August 22nd of this year. So, overkill. Lockdowns, quarantine, social distancing, face masks were an overkill, permanently destroying lives as businesses went bankrupt and the future of young Americans were quashed. And the article goes on. Yeah. By comparison, let's see. We have a little comparison here. Okay, I'm looking for the comparison. I don't think he has the comparison. For a 0.5% increase in deaths, his country was locked down. A 0.5% increase in deaths. The country was locked down, not a pandemic. For comparison, an estimated 33,800 Americans died from the Hong Kong flu in 1968, which was the mildest flu pandemic in the 20th century. The mildest. Yet life in the U.S. went on as normal during the Hong Kong flu. Yeah. I got an unknown call coming in. Sorry about that. Here it is. Deaths of despair. There may have been more deaths from despair, an estimated 75,000 suicides from calling a pandemic in the U.S. than from COVID-19 coronavirus itself. So, 75,000 suicides, that's a lot more than 9,000, less than 10,000 COVID deaths. Yeah, because these people didn't have comorbidities, they may or may not have. But obviously, the comorbidities is not what killed them. It was despair. And this means that America will attempt to vaccinate all 328 million citizens to spare 10,000 lives. That means 390,000 will be needlessly vaccinated. And a licensed vaccine may only be 50% effective, probably less than that. It might be 50% effective in causing people to be sick of other things, or maybe even kill people, making an even more remote chance immunization will actually prevent future coronavirus infections. There's stronger likelihood far more Americans will experience serious vaccine-related side effects than develop any long-term immunity, as it has been found the antibodies don't last very long from the vaccine. Okay? Okay, well, there you go. Anyway, that's a good article there. And who wrote that article? That was by Bill Sardi, another one of my favorite authors there on lewrockwell.com. But yeah, read the whole article for yourself. I just kind of glossed over it there, and you'll see. Okay, let me check out the chat room. We got any comments, questions? The phone line is open, and yeah, all of those suicides are heartbreaking. A lot of people lost fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons and daughters. Yeah, terrible. Absolutely horrible when you think that the actual COVID virus, flu virus for this season, only killed 9,000 people. Yeah, the COVID virus did, it cured most flu and pneumonia, though. Yeah, because nobody listed those as comorbidities. Because that's, if people die from it, it's because they're weakened already, and that's what they succumb to. Thanks for that, WW. If anyone wants to call in, hopefully my silent caller doesn't call in. He needs to call the hotline or something, the suicide prevention line or something. Somebody will talk to him there. He obviously doesn't want to talk to me. Okay, yeah, to call in. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? Let's see. The whole scam just fell apart. Okay, it falls apart. And so we need to just spread that around. You got the Facebook posting there. Repost the Lou Rockwell. All the links are in it. People can read it for themselves. Okay? See, media blackout, massive gathering in Germany as RFK exposes Bill Gates and Big Pharma. I listened to RFK speak in Germany. Just fantastic, man. If you listen to any speech, you should find that speech. I think, did I post that on Facebook too? I don't know if I did or not. I probably did. Oh yeah, also John MacArthur, We Have Been Played, and he talks about the same statistics that we just went over from the CDC website. He gets his message from the source.
A lot of things go through my mind as I go from week to week, trying to help all of us understand the Word of God and something of the seasons in which we now live. I haven't made really any comments about COVID or the lockdown and whatever else is going on in what is called a pandemic. I don't want to offer myself as any kind of an expert, but a rather telling report came out this week, and for the first time, we heard the truth. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which is the national organization, government organization, that is to report to us the truth about disease, said that in truth. 6% of the deaths that have occurred can be directly attributable to COVID. 94% cannot. Of the 160,000 people that have died, 9,210 actually died from COVID. There is no pandemic. And that's what you've been thinking. We have the responsibility, I think, as spiritual leaders, to be patient until the truth emerges. We've all been suspicious of the fact that we've been meeting together now for weeks and weeks and weeks. We don't know anyone who's ill. Nobody in our congregation has ever been to the hospital with this. It's clear to us the fabrication of numbers because they're including people who had two or three comorbidities. We know all of that. We know there are reasons for this that have nothing to do with the virus. There's another virus loose in the world, and it's the virus of deception. And the one who's behind the virus of deception is the arch deceiver, Satan himself. And it's not a surprise to me that in the midst of all this deception, the great effort that is going on is to shut down churches that preach the gospel. So, this is not a political speech, by the way. But it does not surprise me that they want to shut down those who preach the gospel, because the architects of this level of deception are not a part of the kingdom of heaven, they're a part of the kingdom of darkness. Deception is Satan's stock and trade. And he is the god of this world, and he uses deception every possible way he can.
Okay, anyway, we're going in a minute. We're going to a break. We'll have some news, and we'll come back for another hour of broadcast. And I'll try to I'll whip my producer during the break and, you know, whip him into shape and get him in line so he doesn't make any more mistakes. No self-flagellation here. That's for the Antichrist Church. Okay, let's see. What else we got? Oh, yeah, make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, right now, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and press the follow button there, okay? And share as many of the articles on your social media as you like, and just take advantage of all the resources there. Okay, well, I'll be back after a break here with some news and a few messages. Don't go anywhere.
V. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Listened across the border, and this is a prophecy reality edition. Looks like everything's working now. Yes, I beat my producer severely over the break there. Just kidding, I am the producer. Yeah, so we're getting audio. Sorry about what happened before, but it looks like everything is working now. Scatter says no sound at all. Well, all my monitors say that the sound is working. I did actually forget to push the audio button when I came back from that video. Yeah. So, anyone else want to give me a sound check in the room there? Maybe reload your thing there, scattered, and maybe it'll work. Anyway, enough tech talk. I know everything's recording properly, and looks like everything's going out as it should. So, he's got sound now. Great. Okay, here we go. Yeah, you heard the news, too, I hope, over the break. Yeah. Okay, what else? What was I going to do? Now I'm forgetting what I was going to do. I had it all in my brain. Well, let's see. Scattered Put says, talking about True News. You know, I used to play True News. I liked when Rick Wiles would do a 10-minute, and he was by himself doing a radio show. And he did a 10-minute news wrap-up that was just fantastic with every broadcast. And then he would have a guest or an interviewee or something like that for the rest of the hour. Well, now they've turned it into a talking head show. And I guess they do a news wrap-up, which is probably still good, but I had to stop because, you know, the sideshow there, the Zionist Jewish sideshow that's going on, have you all heard the other news on True News about evangelicals for hire? And I call this an antichrist because Zionism, what you call Christian, Jewish Zionism, especially where they come together, is another antichrist operation. And I refuse to be part of any of his sub operations, part of that sub dichotomy that takes away the focus from the Antichrist himself and puts it on one of his several layers of plausible deniability as to what's going on in the world and who is the real acting power behind it. And plus that, you get labeled like a hate organization and things like that when you start, or what do they call them, anti-Semite and all that stuff. But, you know, I don't want to become a rabid dog on Zionism or Israel and all of that stuff. You know, Israel is just another wicked nation full of wicked rulers, like every other wicked nation has wicked rulers out there. And in Israel, there are some people that actually belong to Christ too, as there are in every other nation. So there's nothing special going on over there. Nothing at all. For me to focus on that is to kowtow to the Antichrist, because at the same time they are vindicating the Antichrist. So I've given up on Rick, and plus he's pushing this, you know, 60-year-old liberty sinking thing that was worked out between the president of the U.S. I hate to say our because he's not mine, President Johnson, and the Zionist gig back there in the 60s. That was another Antichrist operation. And to bring all that up again, for what, to what purpose? To expose the Antichrist? Yes, I'm all for it. But to do it the way and for the purposes and the reason to become part of one of the Antichrist subplays, to layers of plausible deniability, to be manipulated into that dichotomy, I'm not going for it, and I don't want it anywhere near me. Okay? That's enough trouble just outing the Antichrist himself without taking on all his little plays that he's got going on all over the world, okay? So especially, you know, and nobody cares about the liberty sinking anymore. It's happened 60 years ago, and it has nothing to do with what's going on today, except the same people are, you know, in charge of it. It's still an Antichrist play that has been going on, and it goes toward what he wants in the end, toward his end, because the ends always justify the mean. So with the Antichrist and his shadow government, so I'm done with True News and Rick Wiles. He did get a little place in the book I just wrote, though, because of his stand on prophecy, which is false. And I expose that in my book, and even put the links there. You can hear it out of his own mouth. Yeah. So there you have that. Okay, what else? But anyway, appreciate the input there, Scattered. Like I said, if you want a better news source, better than True News, you can go to, band.video. And listen to the guy, we play a show every afternoon and overnight, and that is David Knight. He does 3 hours a day, much better than anything True News does. True News, if you just want to hear their opinions, long and drawn out, way overdone on every topic they talk about, then listen to True News. But it gets very tiring, yeah. I just got tired of it. And like I said, they continue to beat that dead horse for the Antichrist while they ignore the true Antichrist and push false prophecy. So enough is enough. Don't ask me how I feel about that, because I'll tell you. Don't even bring it up. Okay, moving on. Let's see, my book is out. The links are in the chat room. It's available both in print, and it's available in EPUB there. I think it's $3.99 for EPUB for your Kindle version, and $16.99 for the book. Or you can listen here, and I think I'm going to do the whole book as an audio video presentation this fall. So you want to stick around for that. This fall, coming up real soon. The rest of the week until mid-September, so another couple weeks, we're going to continue listening to rebroadcasts of when I did have a producer, when Michael was in the studio, and I was going through History Unveiling Prophecy by H. Grant Hanguinies in the second hour. So I'm just waiting for the weather to get cool enough where I can get back in the studio and do some work, because it's just too hot when it's 100 degrees, like 3 weeks in a row, you know, to 110. So lots of volunteer producers today. Yeah, but they can't quite reach into my studio there, WW. So anyway, there's a chair here for you, man. But you know, everyone needs to be wherever the Lord has them and wants them to be. So if God tells you that he wants you over here, come on. Hey, we got room. Yeah. Better hurry up, though. Okay, anyway. Let that invitation come from the Lord himself. Okay, what else do we have? What else is in the news here today? The whole scam, media blackout. Oh, the mass gathering in Germany. And I should have got a clip of that, because that was great. So if you can listen to RFK when he spoke live at the gathering in Germany, it was excellent. I mean, like if I was going to have a Kennedy hero, he would be my Kennedy hero. Okay, and he is, basically. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Ah, hey. Our silent man is back. Should I interpret what you're saying? No, breathe a little louder there. I have no idea what's going on with the phone. I'm just laughing it off because it happens with every broadcast. See, that's why I need a screener. That's why they have screeners on these other shows that get all the calls and have the, you know, $150,000 studios and the advertising budgets to bring in enough listeners so that their shows aren't embarrassing. Yes. Well, I'll be embarrassed any day for Christ, or just because I'm me. Whatever. Okay, let's see. Where was I going now before the phone rang? We'll find something here. Oh yes, that article, billions wasted on ventilators. The world banking system has it. Oh, I like this one. This is funny, but serious. I started to read it, and then I came like to the fifth paragraph, and I go, well, I was not going to read it on the air. But then I thought, I need to read this on the air because it goes right where we're going. But like I said, I didn't get there till the fifth paragraph. So anyway, let me put this out here. This is also at Lou Rockwell. I'll tell you, great articles. You haven't gone to lourockwell.com. You need to do it. A self-proclaimed Hindu godman is thumbing his nose at the world's fiat money systems. Fiat money being backed by government decree without a tangible asset for collateral. That's what fiat money is. He's showcasing his new gold-backed money online. If he actually gets away with this, he could control the world's most valuable currency. That's because an investor of any repute would realize a gold-backed currency would be preferred over a world awash in monopoly game paper money, which is about to be replaced by digital money, another imaginary form of pretend money. While printed paper with pictures and historical figures can exude public confidence and be a medium of exchange, it is not real money. Rare precious metals like gold and silver are examples of real money. This Hindu godman doesn't explain how much gold he has, but even the threat of establishing a gold-backed currency gets the U.S. military to place an aircraft carrier off the coast of any country that dares to do so. Yes, for the Antichrist. Washington, D.C. and his Pentagon, they'll do whatever he wants. Don't you dare mess with the monetary system of the Antichrist, right? Those are my comments. Back to the article. To have the hubris to do this, start your own country and print your own sacred paper money laced with 11.66 grams of gold, you have to have some higher authority. So 39-year-old East Indian Nithyananda self-proclaims he is a Hindu God-man. And I guess that's a picture of the character there. Oh, this, I guess this is a screenshot of the website. Reserve Bank of Kailasa has signed whatever hosting of its Reserve Bank of Kailasa service mark. The Reserve Bank of Kailasa is a legitimately incorporated body. Its currencies will be used only in the countries with which Kailasa has signed diplomatic treaties with. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, moving on. A fugitive from justice, Nithyananda is being sought after by police in India for child trafficking and gang rape. Yeah, there's a holy man for you. News reports say that he fled to an island off the coast of South America, an island he purchased from Ecuador, to set up his own country as a platform to launch the Hindu Reserve Bank of Kailasa, Kailasa being the name of his new country. Of course, how much of this is true is in question. Nithyananda is shown on video displaying his new gold-backed currencies. Nithyananda says after reading many books, he has established his reserve bank. Get this, this is the part I found funny. Okay. He has established his reserve bank on the model of the Vatican Bank, which is located in the smallest country of the world, just 0.2 square miles, in Vatican City. Nithyananda describes his newly founded country as a digital entity that is the greatest and only Hindu nation on earth. He invites Hindus to go to his website and sign up for free citizenship and a Kailasa email passport. Hey, I might get one of his passports, since the U.S. government won't give me mine. And speaking of, I have some news on the passport front, and I guess we'll get into that in the next segment after the next break. I almost forgot. That's what I was going to cover. That's our other bit of news on the passport case that we have going through the courts right now. Yes, we may have we have some good news there. And I keep disconnecting and connecting on the audio, so sorry about that. Need to get the reconnection successful. So Nithyananda says his country has signed a memorandum of understanding with another nation to host his bank. Okay, so anyway, it's kind of funny there, but that's a Lou Rockwell article. And you could check that out for yourself. And I guess you can check out the website. The whole article is there for you. I don't think I'll be buying any of Nithyananda's gold-backed currency. I don't think I'm going to go there. I think I'll just buy the gold and the silver from Melody Cederstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And you can listen to her broadcast at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, one of her longest time supporters of First Amendment Radio. And she's got a great program. She doesn't just try to sell you gold and silver. I don't think she's worried about business that much, that it's going that well enough for her, okay, that she can actually do a broadcast and bring you a good program every day. So anyway, check her out if you haven't yet, Financial Survival on First Amendment Radio. Okay, what else do we got? I think I have another article here. The world. Okay. Since 9/11, the government's answer to every problem has been more government. That's from John Whitehead, also available. If you go to the homepage of lourockwell.com, they'll have a list of all their articles there, so you can just go down and do them. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on 5G, government control by fear, surveillance, and totalitarianism. And definitely need to support what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing there. And like I said, his speech was excellent. Curve flat, still in lockdowns. Billions wasted on ventilators. Yes, I think we did that article, or at least mentioned it. And I guess that's all the articles I have. Let me check my mailbox and see what I have starred in my mailbox, if anything. This was one. World Economic Forum, Spotlight on Vaccination. And this is, yes, I subscribe to World Economic Forum. I just like to hear what the enemy is up to, you know. They send me emails regularly. And they're very proud of what they're doing. Hey, maybe they don't know they work for the Antichrist. But anyway, this is on vaccine hesitancy. The past decade has seen increased hesitancy around the world to embrace vaccines. In 2019, the World Health Organization, that upstanding WHO, named vaccine hesitancy as one of the top 10 threats to global health, alongside issues like air pollution, climate change, non-communicable diseases, influenza pandemics, antimicrobial resistance, and weak primary health care there. And you can read that article, but that's enough. So vaccine hesitancy has been increasing. I wonder why. I wonder why vaccine hesitancy has been increasing. Yes, it's no wonder. But anyway, it's interesting reading articles from the enemy camp. And they're all so genuine and true believers, just like the people driving down the roads in their cars with the windows shut and masks on their face. True believers. You know, I think these people are more true believers than most people who go to church. You know, they believe more what the world in the Antichrist propaganda, the mainstream media, is saying, than they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel says that, hey, if I die, that I get to go to the resurrection, you know, if I believe on Christ. And then, of course, if you actually believe, then you live like you believe. That's right. You practice repentance. You start crucifying the deeds of the flesh. Now, that's the hard part, you know, the part that nobody wants to do. I guess that's why most people, or even the many in the church, are going to end up missing the resurrection because they're not true believers. Then you get that from chapter 7 of the Revelation. And I think I'm going to play that. I have an audio, a two-part series that John MacArthur did on that chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 7, the few and the many. And, you know, the lesson there is to make sure that you're not one of the many, that you are one of the few, one of the elect that is walking on the narrow way that leads to life, understanding what the gospel really means and what it really means to love God. You know, that you want to live to please Him, and when the Holy Spirit works repentance in you, that you obey that repentance with all your power. Oh, you'll never be perfect, but you can be perfected until that day. That ongoing process. That's what I call it. That's why I call it that you're on the narrow way that leads to life. You want to make sure you're on that road, on that narrow way that leads to life, and not on the broad way that leads to destruction. The few and the many. You want to be one of the few, not one of the many that is on the broad way to destruction. Okay, next segment, we're going to pick up on the passport issue and some good news on the case there. So, and I'll send you a link. I mean, if anyone wants, I don't have a link. I have an email that has a PDF of the government's decision on that. And so if anyone is interested in that, you can email me at First Amendment Radio website there. That's far.live at firstamendmentradio.com. And I'll forward that PDF to you that contains the document, the government's decision on that. But the case is moving ahead, in other words. So the good news, well, like I said, we'll discuss that when we get back. In the meantime, we got a break coming up, and my clocks say different times. So, yeah, we got a break coming up here. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you're following my blog there so that you can keep up with the broadcast and get a notice when we post something there. I won't overwhelm you. I don't do that every day. Perhaps one, two, or three times a week if I'm really busy. Posting it's maybe two or three times a week, but you won't be inundated with stuff if you subscribe to my blog there by pressing the follow button. So go there, nicholsarthur.wordpress.com, press the follow button, and keep up with it. And also, if you feel the unction to support some work here, go to First Amendment Radio and press the support button there. And that will support everything we're doing, Cross the Border and the First Amendment Radio. All of the things, all of the irons we have in the fire will be kept hot by your support. Okay, we'll be back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And had some questions about getting my book, not having to buy it at Amazon. Yes, you can do that. And I'll put that information in the post that I post later today offering the book, notifying all of my subscribers or followers on my blog that they can get the book. I'll put the links in there to get it by mail or PayPal. Or through you can even get it through Lulu Press and Amazon right now. And you can get an EPUB or PDF directly from me too, if you prefer that, whichever way you want it. And I don't know, I'm not going to ask for any, I'm just going to say make any donation you feel is right. It's going to cost, probably... I have no idea. It should be less than $10 to buy the paperback copy and have it delivered to you from my end. So you can give whatever above that you want. Or if you subscribe at any amount to First Amendment Radio to give monthly, ask for the book too. There's a place where you can request. Just say request. Reform Prophecy Interpretation book when you subscribe, and I'll send you a copy of the book immediately from either Lulu Press or Amazon, whichever way I can get it to you better. So there you have, that's the cover of the book that we're looking at, and I just went through the contents earlier in the first hour of the broadcast, so You might want to re-listen to that, or if you weren't here, you can listen to the first hour to get the table of contents, a listing of that. And there's a screenshot of the table of contents, and there's the first page of the table of contents. There's a second page. So you can stop the video if you're watching and check it out for yourself. I'm not going to go through it all again. Okay, we're going to get on to the case, and that is the passport case, because I had a passport that I got in 1996 or something, and it was the only ID because soon after that, the state of California decided that they were only going to give driver's licenses to card-carrying socialists. And I'm not a socialist, so I'm not a card-carrying socialist. I don't have a social security card, and I don't pretend that I have a number, and I don't collect any social welfare or anything like that for myself or my disabled son who lives with me. I don't get any food stamps or welfare or SSI, or even though I'm retirement age, a Social Security check, or Medicaid, Medi-Cal, Medi-Meta-Meta-This, Medi-That, Medi-Vac, whatever. I don't get all that. I don't want none of that. That's not my business. I'm not a socialist, okay? I live it. Okay? And so anyway, all I have now is an expired passport for ID. The police in my locality, they all know that's all. That I show them and it's acceptable to the police. But I tried to get a new one, you know, with the card ID, and because they have both, and they denied my passport, and they've denied a lot of other people's passport because of a law that Barack Obama passed, and they're stuck on that law. So anyway, so we're going through the courts with this thing now, and the government, where is it at? Okay. Oh. Significant development in passports SSN case. The court denied the government's motions for dismissal on three very important counts. There were nine counts in the case, and they granted their dismissal on six of the counts, but the most important ones, and that was on freedom of religion and privacy, okay? And one other count, I forget exactly which one, but the most important counts. So the case is going to be heard. They're not allowing, they're not going to grant the government's dismissal of the case. The judge isn't. And this is Carmichael et al. Versus Pompeo et al. Because he's the Secretary of State, so he's the guy that you name in the case. However, the very good news is that the count affirmed are standing on three counts of action. Count 2, Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Count 4, violation of the Fifth Amendment due process rights. And count 7, of the violation of Privacy Act. Still much more work to do. So if you're interested in this, I can show you the email here. This is from ChristianLibertySociety.org. The ACLS, yeah. But anyway, there it is, and I have the PDF is attached to it. So I'd be glad if anyone's interested in this case, and you're not on the list here in getting this. It's an interesting read, but this is the government's answer to their motions to dismiss, and the government let stand the three most important, and didn't grant the others. And I think they made one. They did not grant one, but it's contingent upon refiling on that cause of action. No. Anyway, that's all your legal speak. Okay, the rest of the hour is for you, the listeners. So I'm going to be looking at the chat room and taking calls from people who want to talk. And if you don't want to talk, well, I'll take your call anyway, but you won't say anything. So anyway, let's see. Let's get over to the chat room here and see what we got going for the last 15 minutes of the broadcast. Okay, nobody said anything. Can I get a hard copy of the new book directly from you? I don't use Amazon, so anyone who doesn't use Amazon, The answer is yes, you can. And so subscribe to my blog, and I'll have that all set up. There are links in the chat room. You can go to the support page at First Amendment Radio. There's a place where you can make a request when you make a donation of any amount, whatever. You know, I'll leave that between you and the Almighty, what you want to give. Or if you subscribe to First Amendment Radio to support us on a regular basis, just put in the request there, or send an email separate or something saying, I just subscribed, I would like a copy of your latest book, Reform Prophecy Interpretation, and I will send it to you immediately. And yes, you could cancel your subscription after 1 month, but that would be inadequate. But I don't know why you would do that. You could just make a one-time donation to get the book. Okay? And I do give some of my books away free over at my website. So you can go to the free ebook tab, and there's a lot of good reading material there that's free. And I am going to probably this fall sometime start going through the book in the second hour of the live broadcast until I get through it all as it is complete now. I spent a lot of time on this, refining and perfecting it. I don't know, it's not perfect yet. There's always, that's the thing about what a man writes, is you can never get it perfect, but you can't always perfect it. But my last, I think I read it through, because I actually finished the book a month ago, but I think I've read it through like 6 times in the last month, and perfecting it, deleting some stuff that was, you know, repetitive or whatever, or just unnecessary, or it didn't really belong, or whatever, you know, or was in the wrong place, moved some things around. So there's always, it can always be perfected. Oh, that's the way, that's the nature of writing for us mere mortals. But I think you'll be pleased with it if you're into prophecy at all. Whether you agree with me or not, it's going to give you a cause to think about a lot of things. And especially if you're like me, I buy a lot of books by authors that I don't agree with. Yeah, so I can, so one, they can convince me if I determine that they're right, because I don't want to miss anything. And so that I can refute them if they're wrong, and refute what they actually say. And there are a number of mentions in this book of other authors on the same topics. So you'll see that. I think you'll enjoy the read. Yeah, Blackbird said the program keeps cutting out and reloading. Yeah, that I had several cutouts during that, say, around the second hour there somewhere, or the second segment. So that happens sometimes. Nothing I can do about it. I get them out here once in a while to go through it all again, but it's like the writing a book, you know. Things just degrade. You got to continually keep coming back to it. David Knight. Yes, question mark. Yeah, definitely check out David Knight. You can go to their website there. You can watch his program video without any commercials if you wait until like the afternoon, and because that's what I do sometimes if I don't catch it or if I'm not too busy, or if you want to see something. You can go to band.video in the left-hand column, click on David Knight, and then they'll have a list of segments from the day, but it'll have the full video there without commercials. Little secret there for you. Or you can just listen to First Amendment Radio, where we drop our own promos in during, so you don't have to listen to all theirs. So we play them the current program, 2 o'clock, right after Financial Survival, every afternoon. And also overnight, like 3 a.m. So that's 6 a.m. for those of you on the other coast there. So you can catch it at that time. If you're an early riser, you can listen to it while you're going to work in your car or whatever. Because I listen to stuff off of my dumb phone. in the automobile. I got one of those little radio things that, and I guess many of the newer cars already have all that all set up. So I don't do much driving. I don't go to work. I walk 50 feet or 60 feet to work. So that's the way it works for me. So, yeah, definitely listen to David Knight on First Amendment Radio. I think you'll enjoy him much more than that other guy we were talking about, Rick Wiles and True News. Yeah, a huge difference. And he covers so many different topics, but he's pretty much current on everything that's current. He'll spend a lot more time. Oh, is simply spoof calling. I don't know what spoof calling is. Spoof. I've never used the word spoof. I've heard it before, but yeah, I can't say I really recollect what spoof means. Spoof calling. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for that, Voyager. But whatever that means, it's an automated, and the perpetrator is using your number to call other people. Really? How does that work? Huh. I don't. Oh, so they can put my number in the, I don't know, whatever. Sounds diabolical and illegal to me. Anyway, so. But why do they only do it during the broadcast? Think about that. I think that narrows it down. It's not some kind of spoofing scam or whatever that means. Because they only do it during the broadcast. I don't get spoofed the rest of the day. People call me or actually automated, you know, those automated, and they want to help me with my bank account or credit card or whatever, those people, or someone has the wrong number, or it's someone actually calling me. That's what I get when it's not a broadcast. Voyager says, I don't know, but it's real. Well, I believe you. I don't doubt you a bit. Yeah. Okay, what else we got here? Let me see if I missed anything else in the chat room. Okay, yes, I need more callers, I guess, or people that have more to say, you guys. Well, it's good practice. I can just talk and talk for 2 hours, and then I got to go take a nap because I'm just wore out. Talking for 2 hours takes a lot of energy. Because usually I don't eat in the morning, but on Wednesday morning I have to eat, otherwise I start running out of gas here and getting lightheaded. Your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. Thank you so much. Yeah, at least we know the phone rings. That must be our spoof caller. Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, we got a few minutes left here. What shall I do in the last few minutes? I must have something up here important. Okay, like I said, for the next few weeks till the weather actually cools down, we're going to be continuing our history unveiling prophecy the rest of the week during this broadcast hour. And then I'm going to pick back up on the history of Protestantism. And we got to the history of Protestantism in Geneva. So that's where we're going to pick up next time in a couple weeks. So all of you that were following me on that, and all of those audios, I'm also doing that for another purpose, because I'm going to publish those as audiobooks, okay, on Kindle or whatever. So now I got to go through all of those. See, that's where I could got to put my grandchildren to work doing that kind of stuff, perfecting those for. So that's another reason to do these things that I'm doing. And then after that, I'm thinking about, because I'm reading now, now that my book's done, and what do I do next? I'm reading John Calvin's Institutes of Christianity, and so far I am blown away. I mean, everything is true that he's saying, and I love the way he weaves the scripture into it, and it's a beautiful work. You know, if he wasn't a Protestant, like Augustine, the Catholics would have canonized him and called him a saint. The problem was he was a cat. He would, because the institutes are just fantastic, and I don't expect that it's going to change from what I've read so far. I've got to chapter 5 in the first volume there, and I am being blown away by it. I took up what's his name's challenge to read it, and what's his name, they're having a teenage moment again. Those darn teenage moments. And I can say that because I have some teenagers around here quite often, since I have my youngest is a teenager. Oh, wait a minute. She's 19. Yeah, she's not going to be a teenager long. Yeah, they grow up so fast, don't they? But anyway, the institutes. And I want to go through the institutes perhaps after I finish. And I'm only halfway through the three volumes of The History of Protestantism by James A. Wiley. Yeah. Cataloging my brain here. I gotta run that catalog a little faster in my brain, those teenage moments. Getting a lot of stuff up there, but I'll tell you what, reading is very healthy for our old brains. It helps us to keep alert and alive and from becoming brain dead. Which most people are just entertained or just listen all the time. Now you got to make your brain work, man. So reading is good. And that's why I don't think books are ever going to go out of style. At least I hope not. And all of my children were avid readers. I started with them early. That way I didn't have to teach them to read. They learned, because they learned that you can go places while reading a book. You can learn things and keep those synapses firing in your brain. So reading is very good. No matter what you do, you should be reading something, especially God's Word. You should know it intimately. And that way, you know, that's one problem with the church today, is they don't intimately know God's Word, so they're easily deceived, you know. And I talk about that in my book a little bit when I talk about the false prophet. If you intimately knew the true prophet, that which is true, you would have no confusion as to who the false prophet is. And as far as understanding prophecy, if you know, it doesn't mean you have to understand it when you're reading it. You just have to know what's in there. And then when someone comes along and puts it together and gets it wrong, you'll know, well, that isn't what it says. It's because you know the true. And so if you want to know the truth, you want to know what the true interpretation of the Bible is, you have to know the Bible first. And it's like those agents at the Treasury, you know. They don't teach them what false money, you know, what counterfeit money looks like. It's all counterfeit now, but the government counterfeit money. They teach them what the government counterfeit money looks like, so that if they see something that's not government issue, well, then they recognize it as not true. See, they're not looking for that which is counterfeit. They're looking for that which is true. So when they see that which is not true, they immediately recognize it as not true. And that's why we need to intimately know the Word of God. And you know what? When I compare the Bible to many other books and works that I've read and am reading, it's small. You know, it's not. It's smaller than those. It is. It's quite a read. 66 books, written over, you know, 3,000-4,000 years, and but penned by the Holy Ghost, by the, you know, as He moved the prophets, those that wrote the books. But read it, you know. Start reading the Gospels, and then, you know, after you read the Gospels, keep reading to the end of the book, and then go to Genesis and start reading Genesis, the beginning of the books. And if you have a problem with something, you can, you know, open up your Henry's commentary and look in there. I can go through my studies with me. Go to my website. And you can ask me a question anytime you want. You can email me anytime. And if you have something you're difficult with, and I'll tell you what, you know, what the Lord has revealed to be. And you can accept it or not. You know, I'm not the know-it-all. I learn a lot by reading all the time. You know, I get new revelation when I read the scripture. As a matter of fact, I know that perhaps after I do the institutes, I plan on going through the entire Bible again. You know, because what? I got 40 years here, you know, until Christ comes. I'm going to keep busy. I got lots of work to do. There's no excuse for not having work to do for the Lord God Almighty. And if you want to work in His kingdom and sow in His kingdom, well, you know, you may have to give up your all your leisure time on the boat, or all of your leisure time running around the universe, or watching Netflix, or whatever it is you're doing, or listening to pop music on the radio, or listening to Rush Limbaugh, God forbid, or you know, whatever. And jump, get into His Word, man. You can listen to First Amendment Radio all the time too. You're going to be edified. I can tell you that much for sure. That's the whole point. Anyway, we've run out of time. I want to thank you all for listening and your input on the broadcast. And all I can say is may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life until we meet again.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.